It is dark out. Really dark. There's no moon. And you're on a country road alone. This is before cell phones. And you are stranded. Flat tire. Or maybe you have inadvertently run out of gas. There you are, alone, cut off. Or maybe it's broad daylight and you have a cell phone. You're out jogging and twist your ankle and you hear the snap. You know it's broken. You sit on the ground, looking both ways down a very long, long path, not well traveled, hurt, crying, and you make the call for help. When help arrives, you're not alone, but you're still miles away and no car. Until moments later, you see a car heading towards you in a place where that rarely, if ever, happens. I hate asking for help. I hate it. I'm not sure why I hate it. Maybe in some way I want to feel in control and competent. I have that I can do for myself kind of attitude, and I know that I've been this way since birth. So says my mother. Fiercely independent, the one strong, able to leap buildings in a single bound. Hence the cape. Or at least that's who I endeavor to project into the world. Here's the rub, though. I love to help others. I like to feel needed most days. It is empowering and feels good to help one another. Interesting that I hate asking or accepting help, but thrive on giving it. Am I the only one? No. Okay, good. I didn't want to be the only one. And if I am going to be truly honest, when I do need help, and confirm if this is true for you, I feel hurt when others do not just realize it without having to be asked. People are not mind readers. How could anyone possibly know that I need help unless I ask? But when one is in that place of need, it's incredibly humbling to ask, is it not? And even more humbling to be rejected. Sorry, I can't help you. Hey, but I asked. Intellectually, I know that being humbled is a very good thing. It reminds us that we are unable to leap buildings in a single bound. But when people do offer help, I feel seen in a way that I am unable to articulate. Held up on wings, not because I did it on my own, but because we did it together. Every time I see the sign on my house, Hillcroft, it's all fancy, but it's not really, I think of the first parish men who came over to my house, had lunch, and helped me put that sign up. It makes me smile to remember, and it is a perfect example of asking and receiving help and feeling good about it. So, here's my question for you this morning. If you're on a dark road and someone comes along, do you ask or accept help? There is a lot of fear one must face in order to contend with, on everyone's part, yours and the one in need, and the other who must trust and take a chance to stop and help you. There's a lot of trust in that interaction. It's scary. Even in broad daylight, it is difficult to ask for help, to be so vulnerable. But there's something transformational in the asking and the receiving. I consider the exchange a form of radical hospitality. Chris talks about it as a spiritual practice, and I would agree with that as well. Radical hospitality was practiced in monastic communities, first introduced by Saint Benedict in the early 500s Common Era, CE. It was built on the teachings and actions of Jesus, who lived a ministry of acceptance of all who came to him. He was willing to be present with an open heart and mind to trust, even though trusting was not always safe to do. Was Jesus the first I don't know. Maybe it was Buddha who practiced radical hospitality with his empty bowl, walking and begging. What is radical hospitality? I turn to a book that builds on the rule of Benedict, which explains that the first and foremost practice when being hospitable is to listen with an open heart and mind to the other. And it explains that all of us are hard to like, and even harder to love sometimes. The human person is capable of great loyalty and great betrayal. One single remarkable soul can house huge contradictions. You can tell on the outside what is going, you can't tell on the outside what is going on the inside. From the moment we slip from the womb, we begin the journey of becoming who we are. Even in the best of childhood traumatize our fragile souls, and we learn to cover up and compensate. We learn to clutch what is ours, and we learn to mistrust others. There is always the real you, the one with the potential, the one you dream of becoming, the one you are in your best moments. As we grow spiritually, we recover this original identity and shed the many layers of the false self. This growth is an important part of spirituality. Understand that when we refer to a false self, we are not promoting denial, and we are not suggesting that we are anything less than fully responsible for our worst moments. There is no bad twin to blame when we behave something less than human. We are becoming something. We are becoming more patient, more loving, more angry, more selfish. There is something fundamental at the root of it all. It may be a person of love or a person of selfish indifference. Every day we make choices that take us towards becoming one or the other. We probably make most of our choices in favor of loving. It is rare to meet a person who makes all of their choices in favor of loving. If we can forgive ourselves, we become better at forgiving others. When we have searched hard for the best that is inside of ourselves, it becomes easier to find the best in others. Gratitude is an appropriate response once you know who you really are. Gratitude for all the grace that overlooks the worst, while moving you toward your original best self. Gratitude makes it easier to handle all the hard-to-like people who will step into our paths. Is it possible to be grateful for all that we encounter? Rumi would have us believe it to be so. The good, the challenges, the awful. Here is the interesting thing about radical hospitality, about accepting oneself and others unconditionally, even if we are broken at times, mostly imperfect beings filled with uncertainty. We need one another. We are desperate to be seen and accepted for who we are in any given moment. And if we are accepted and seen by those around us, it changes how we are and how we act in the world. Radical hospitality can be contagious, and it is probably the only practice that can save our world. If we spent more time thinking about the needs of others and believed and trusted that others were doing the same in return, our world would be a different place. It would be faithful because we would have faith in each other. When I think about my ministry and I think about First Parish, I am compelled by the ideal of cultivating a place in the world where you and all of those who enter will be embraced for all that we are. Each of us will be seen and cared for, and together we can develop a culture of yes, built on a practice of loving kindness and compassion, abundance, positivity, and love, always love. Love would surround all that we do. Be the love, share the love, stand on the side of love. It is simple to say, yet not that easy to do. Here is a deep truth. We are trying. The leaders and the staff, and many of you who volunteer over and over again, we excel at times. Those times feel great, don't they? When we just do it right, when there's cake downstairs and we know it. When we can feel that we are being our genuine selves and that we are building the beloved community together, you can see it. You can feel it. It's right. The truth is that we do fail at times. We may lose heart or energy or passion for walking in the sandals of sages, all that wisdom. It's okay to fall, lose faith, and fail at times. It's okay. This place of failure is where we have an amazing opportunity to learn profound insights about our amazing human spirits, our resilience, our tenacity, our willingness, our commitment. It is also equally okay when others fall or fail. We can be there to help them up. And since we all like doing that, that's a good thing, right? To understand where they're at, because we've all been there. These are the moments when we care enough to reach out a helping hand, to pick up another, to dust them off, help them to see that forgiveness of self is the most crucial wisdom and practice of all. This is the moment when we are reminded that we can begin again in love. That is my vision for First Parish of Sudbury, that we will be this for one another and all whom we come in contact with out there in the world, that will go beyond our walls. We can pay it forward and be accepting. Let someone go in front of us. Be the epitome of the true Christian, the true Buddhist, the true pagan, the true Hindu, the true humanist, the true mystic, the true Jew or Muslim. We all want the same things. What a vision to behold. But I know that I cannot do it alone, cape or not. I need your help. I need your help. Remember, just a few moments ago, I shared that I do not like to ask for help. So it's a big deal. Here I am doing just that, asking you for your help. Here is another truth. The entire staff and the leadership, the Board of Trustees, the FinCom, they need your help as well. The town of Sudbury and beyond, they don't know it yet, but they all need your help as well. Imagine how different this town would be without us here at the crossroads. Let me give you an example of how important we are with an email that I received this week from a citizen of Sudbury. Dear Reverend Maddie, clearly they don't know me. Today I was saddened to drive by your church and see the word black spray painted over on the Black Lives Matter sign. As a resident of Sudbury and the mother of transracial family, we had been so happy to see your banner and signs over the last few weeks. My youngest son was adopted from Ethiopia at the age of 3. He is now 11. And your banner has helped our family continue our conversation about race and the challenges our country faces with regards to racism. At the time I drove by today, I was alone in the car. But at some point, I will have to have a conversation with all of my children about what I read. It is added to the list of other conversations I have had with my son about why he's followed in our local stores, why he has been treated differently on the bus, or what he will need to do to keep himself safe when he becomes a teenager. Although our family does not belong to your church, I really support your efforts to bring this conversation to our community. I am hoping to attend your discussion at the end of March and hope for a community where all are welcome. Thank you. Take that in. What does that feel like? Feel good? We're doing the right thing, aren't we? Where all are welcome. Radical hospitality. That is what we can bring to our community and to our world. And my friends, we are doing it. We are making a difference. Even when some days it feels like we're heading uphill, We are making a difference. We're making a difference. We and I need your help to keep that momentum going. Whether you will volunteer in religious education, volunteer as a Sunday worship host, I need you to serve on the board. If you haven't, or even if you have, I need you. And to make coffee, I need you. And to be the face of hospitality as a greeter on Sunday, whether you're new or been here a long time, I know that we are all busy in our lives, and I know that our resources are committed and accounted for, but the leadership needs all of us to be generous, genuine, and generous with our annual pledge, because you are literally keeping the lights on and keeping the heat going, supporting your staff members. You keep the music playing and the children engaged in important, wholehearted, and mindful life skill education. Our collective ministry is touching and changing people's lives. And if you believe in the mission of First Parish, please give more than you've ever pledged before. Now, you've probably heard this message, but it matters. This year, it matters. You have to remember that your annual pledge is guaranteed. And if you don't know what that means, see us. See the leadership, and we'll tell you. As we begin to plan for next year, I need your help, because in truth and for good reason, the Board of Trustees and FinCom are expecting a financial shortfall this year. And I ask you from my heart of hearts to help me prove them wrong. I know that the leadership would like, scratch that, love to be proved wrong about this. It will take all of us being as generous as possible to make this happen. The bottom line of our budget is just short of $300,000, and I'm confident that with your generosity, rentals, fundraisers, we can cross the chasm. Here is what I've learned about asking for help. It makes me feel vulnerable and somewhat egoless. Yet it opens up an opportunity for each one of us to respond and get to know one another by helping. In a world where anonymity is what holds us back from true connection, if connection is truly what we so desperately want to be seen and to be known, it begins with letting down our guard and trusting our best intentions when we are at our most vulnerable. Whether we are on the side of the road in the middle of the dark or sitting on a trail with a broken ankle in the middle of the woods, if and when we reach out for a hand for help, we do so in love instead of fear. We do so in love instead of fear. Vulnerable, with tear-streaked cheeks, it is an invitation to know us better. My friends, I need you. We need you. Thank you for your help in reaching our goals. I know you will. As a community of faith, love, and peace.